You are now tuned in to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Back to Old Car Wax. This is Michael, your Bougie Black Brother, and we're back to our sports podcast with Shay Panera. What's going on, Shay?
Nothing much. Just chilling.
Nice weather.
Yeah, nice weather. Pretty good outside.
Did you
pretty
put
good
the top outside. Down. And come on up.
If I could put the top down, then I would.
And we got Sean. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, man, I am here.
Any drone driving today?
Nah, not yet, man. I just been trying to get my Charlemagne the God on, man. Trying to just put the weed in the bag, man. Yeah, man. If you read the book, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so I kind of got it passed along to me, some quotes. One of the guys from Bridgewater, Virginia.
Really?
Yeah, he was taking pictures of the book and sending it to me. I was like, damn, what the hell? He was like, yeah, man, this is shallow. I said, my son already showed it. He's like, really? Well, man, this is... And he's in the middle of no fucking where in... it's Bridgewater. I call it Bumfuck Virginia. So Bumfuck Virginia is where he at. But yeah, so he shot that too. But today, we want to talk about a couple of things closing out the NBA season.
Yeah, sir.
Which is the NBA draft. We want to talk about the prospective trades, and then the award ceremony.
Yes, which was kind of like award ceremony.
You know, some was typical, some shit was kind of like, what? But I'm good either way around. So let's top it off, Shay, NBA draft. Because you had your lineup, and it almost went almost exactly the way you thought the lineup
pretty much,
was
going. Honestly, I feel like anybody who studied mock drafts and all that could have
Which
easily
I
predicted
I don't,
that.
I don't study mock drafts.
Oh, I'm not. Well, no offense, but I'm just saying.
No. It was no offense taken.
It was pretty predictable. I mean, yeah. We already knew Philadelphia was going to take Markel Fultz.
Exactly.
Already knew Lakers, after they trade D'Angelo Russell, they were going to take Lonzo Ball.
Right.
And then you knew Celtics were either going to take either Josh Jackson or Jason Tatum, and then Suns was going to take the remaining one of Josh Jackson and Jason Tatum, which happened. Yeah. Celtics took Jason Tatum because Josh Jackson canceled on their workout.
Oh.
Which, rumors from what I read, Suns GM Ryan McDonough, who coincidentally used to work for the Celtics, told his agent to cancel his workout against the Celtics. Because he said that if you come to the Suns, you're going to have a lot of playing time. You're going to fit with Devin Booker. You're going to fit with Eric Bledsoe, Marquise Chris. This is going to be a better fit for you.
So they painted it a great picture to say, if you let them take you, look at what we got for you. Though.
Yeah, they look at all the depth that Celtics have. Like, look at Jaylen Brown. How much playing time did he get with being a third pick? So kind of persuaded Josh Jackson's agent to cancel the workout with the Celtics. Danny Ainge got pissed, took Jason Tatum instead, and then said this whole fib that if he still had the first pick, he would have took Jason Tatum. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's sure you would have. So, yeah, so it was kind of predictable. It was pretty boring other than the trade in between with
Jimmy Butler, and we was hitting that on the nail. We talked about that last podcast, and at the beginning of the podcast, I said that he wasn't going nowhere. But when you made the point that Tom Thibodeau was there, that validated everything.
Yep,
to be honest with you, and right when they was like Jimmy Butler to Minnesota, it was just like, why wouldn't he?
And I don't know if I said to you or if I said to myself, but I said, Timberwolves can trade LaVine, Dunn, and their seventh pick.
Yeah, well I don't know if you said seventh pick, but we were arguing about LaVine. And we were arguing about LaVine getting up out of there because you was like, because the thing was, it was like, well, he's scoring, he's averaging 20 points, but I'm like, he's better off the bench.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Playing with
but
Minnesota.
Is he going to accept playing off the bench?
Right.
Just like Wiggins and Towns, they're both, they're all three of them have one thing in common. They're all horrible defenders.
Yeah, exactly.
So they all can score 20 a game, but they're all horrible defenders. This is why Timberwolves are worse in defense.
Wow.
We got Jimmy Butler, could give you 23 at least a game.
And still could put up halfway decent defense. Oh, I mean, I don't think he's
well,
trash.
Jimmy Butler, before he rose to superstardom, he was their top perimeter defender.
Yes, exactly.
But
yeah,
it's just because he had to put more of a load on the offensive end is where his defense kind of suffered as a result. But now you got Andrew Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler could focus back
on his defense.
Yeah, on his defense.
Good point. Yeah. I totally agree.
It's a good
with
trade
that.
For both sides.
Ricky Rubio, man, I think it's time for Ricky Rubio to just go.
You know what? Timberwolves have been trying to trade him
for a long time. For at least 2 years. At least 2 years.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Let him retire.
Nah, he's still young.
No,
man.
He's a very good starting point guard.
Yeah,
it's
he
just
is.
That. It's like what I was saying with Dwight Howard. His game's kind of extinct. Ricky Rubio, too, because back then when
he's a pass first.
Exactly. In the Jordan era, you used to have a lot of guys like Rick Rubio, a pass first point guard who can't really score.
Yeah.
But
now
he
scores now.
Yeah. Now
he has
NBA,
to. Like, he's forcing himself to score. It's not natural to him. So he's not going to be that new generation point guard that you need. You need that. Chris Paul can score whenever he wants to.
And it's not like he's Rondo. Like,
exactly.
Rondo was in his prime when he had the athleticism to do whatever he wanted.
He could do whatever he wanted. Right. Yeah. He was getting to that basket, like, easy.
Rubio
you know?
Can't do all that.
No, not at all. He can't have a 20-point assist game and be effective on that court like
but,
that.
But at the same,
I don't think Rubio could do that.
But at the same time, I feel like Rubio is more essential now with that Jimmy Butler trade, because now you got a low usage facilitator in Rubio who can stand back, let Butler and Wiggins and Towns operate.
Don't you think you need a balanced offensive threat nowadays? You just can't have that one guy to just kind of facilitate anymore. You're going to have multiple
Jimmy
scorers.
Butler's a facilitator as well.
Yeah, but he's a scorer, though.
Yeah, but you need – but that's why Rubio is a great contrast, because you already got three scorers who need the ball in their hands to operate. So now you got Rubio who can stay in the background. He can set up – he can do pick and rolls for Karl Towns. He can set up Wiggins. He can set up Jimmy Butler for alley-oops. I feel he's a perfect point guard right now. Mm. Only thing is he just can't shoot a three-point shot consistently. And this is probably why they
now?
Want to trade him.
Yeah.
So for $14 million, you think he's worth it?
For $14 million
for how many seasons?
Rubio. Rubio got two more years.
With the new salary cap, honestly, at $14 million, he's getting underpaid right now.
Yeah, he's fine.
Granted, with the new salary
so,
cap,
so you
can't
so
base
you
more.
Think, so as a GM,
gets $18 million a year.
No. There's a big difference. So as a GM, you think picking up another point guard and having that point guard start over Ricky Rubio, you think that $14 million is worth him sitting on the bench and not starting?
Oh, no, they're trying to trade Ricky Rubio
exactly.
to get another point guard.
Okay.
But they
already got rid of Chris Dunn also.
Exactly. Well, Chris Dunn, he was a third string, because even Tyus Jones is getting more playing time than Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn, from what it looks like, he's a bust after his rookie season. But
wow.
now he's in the Bulls where he could have a chance to start off the back. So we got to go against Cameron Payne, Jerry and Grant. Like,
yeah. They got a bunch of young scrubs.
Rondo's getting bought out, so he doesn't have to worry about that. So Chris Dunn got all the time in the world to develop. LaVine, the question with him is
he going to be able to take over the team as the leader?
Is he going to recover from the ACL?
Rondo's his last season?
Rondo will probably get bought out by the Bulls, which means Bulls will basically pay the rest of his contract he can leave the team. Dwayne Wade is also a buyout candidate, and there's rumors that he might go to Cleveland if he gets bought out.
Right.
So you got,
like we said, two superstars. You know,
former superstars.
No, the Cavaliers need two superstars.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If they don't get the two superstars, they're not even going to have a chance of winning the finals. A chance of winning the finals. They're going to get there easy.
So even though he's got age and he has some lingering injuries, because Wade has some lingering injuries back and forth.
He looked good last year.
He still gets 20 a game.
Yeah.
So he didn't have to be all out like he did in, I think, Miami, because they had to win. So he was going all out because they had to win. I don't think he knew that he had to win in Chicago. He just fucking left. So he didn't have to overexert himself. When he gets to Cleveland, they're out to win. So he knows they're going to make
Paul
the playoffs
George,
and everything.
I feel like if they pick up Paul George, that won't be too hard for
him.
But with
I think
with a fourth Wade there as well?
Yeah.
I think with the difference with Wade, oh, sorry to cut you off, but I say with the difference with Wade is he doesn't have to exert himself on the offensive end anymore with Cleveland because he got Kyrie Irving, he got LeBron James, possibly Paul George or Kevin Love if he just still stays there.
I doubt it.
You got them scoring. So he can focus more on the defensive end, which Dwayne Wade is still good at.
Yeah,
he still
has IQ. You pull one of the superstars out, he's on the floor on his own. Exactly. Right. He can say, okay, now I can do a little bit, but then I can go sit back
and
down.
And he can also play the point guard position, too, which is very valuable. And he does, that's what
he
they
does
let.
Really good. He does really good coming from playing point.
So, but he would have to take a cut, though.
Oh, that's not a problem.
No, once Chicago Bulls buys him out, he still gets all that money he got paid from Chicago. So he can go to Cavaliers for the veterans minimum. He still gets paid $24 million.
Yeah.
So he's in a win-win situation.
So he was like, I only got 2 years, so let's see what we can do together.
Might as well.
After that, I need to get paid again.
Yeah.
And go from that.
Pretty much.
Wow. And then Rondo as well.
That's why a buyout's a win-win situation. Well, Rondo, I don't know. Well, Cleveland... It's kind of tricky with Cleveland because they need someone who can at least stretch the floor out with Cleveland. When you got LeBron holding the ball.
Rondo's mental state is going to be always a problem, especially.
But I don't think that's Rondo fit got
better.
Rondo
I think Rondo got better with that towards the playoffs.
He has. I think he has over the years. I think he blows up now only when some shit really pisses him off. Before, he used to just blow up when somebody brushed past him and he was like, yo, you ain't gonna try to punk me. Now
stop
he's
stepping on
like,
my shoes, nigga.
Yeah, I know, right? So I just think he's such a great player, man, because I've seen him dominate so much. Assists and everything.
He was
in a triple threat.
What he did against the Boston Celtics his past playoffs, if he could do that over a whole season, this guy's back to being an all-star caliber point guard. But that's the question.
On the team, so think about that. So back to what you're trying to get to is, if he's on a team that he doesn't need to, will he force himself to do that and say, look, I got to get mine?
You mean if he's on a team where he doesn't need to be the main facilitator?
Right.
Well, for the Chicago, at first, they weren't trying to use him as a main facilitator, and it just didn't work out well. But when it came to the playoffs, they're like, okay, look, Rondo, we give up. You're going to be the starting point guard again. And then
Rondo is 31 years old. This is his 11th year in the season, and he's getting paid $13 million. So you're telling me that they're going to buy him out?
Yeah.
And somebody else is going to pay him another $13 million.
No, like I'm saying with a buyout contract since they're getting paid, he's still getting paid by Chicago regardless. He can go to another team for less money. And at the age of 31, I don't think he's going to be getting more than $13 million.
That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't pay him more than $5 million.
I think Rondo will just go to a team that wants him at this point because he's an acquired taste point guard. It's not like he's Dwayne Wade where he could have all 30 NBA teams wanting him. Rondo, there's few teams that want Rondo even after that playoff showing against Boston.
Yeah, because you know he has a skill set to help you,
but he also has a skill set that hurts you that can't shoot.
But
it's like Rubio with Rondo as well. There's very few teams that can fit with Rondo. Rubio, if we go back to that, like you said with Kevin Love in Denver might be a good fit as well. But at the same time, Timberwolves will need a point guard back. They got Moody and Jameer Nelson. Those are not good fits for Minnesota.
Nah, not at all.
So I just love to see Rondo play when he wants to play.
Yeah.
He's such a great court general because he'll score or he'll just pass off beautifully. And the game becomes his, whichever way he does it. But, you know, I just don't know that he plays well even with the team that he's on. Even with his teammates, they don't know what to expect from him. So that's why he's always a gamble. But he always pays you.
It's kind of like, I'm not trying to make this comparison because it's not even close to the player, but like go to the NFL, it's kind of like when Randy Moss got older. It's like you don't know what to expect when you sign him. You could get the good Randy Moss when he's motivated, or you could get the bad Randy Moss who he can alienate the whole team and not produce at all on the field.
Yep.
That's Rondo right now.
And you can see that he's... Look, man, he didn't come to no practices. You know, he's dropping passes. What the hell? Moss is like, I'll catch him when I need to catch him.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, yo, what the fuck, dude?
That was Rondo in Dallas.
What about Chris Paul then?
Chris Paul, to me, it's either between San Antonio going back to L.A. And it looks like San Antonio to me because L.A. looks like they're about to blow it up.
What about Houston?
Houston? Oh, yeah, and Houston as well. I just don't think Houston is a great fit.
I don't think it's a great fit for him either. I agree.
Harden needs the ball in his hands. Patrick Beverley, you can't get a more perfect point guard for Harden than Patrick Beverley.
Yeah, because he don't want the ball.
Exactly. And he does what Harden doesn't do, which is play defense.
Right.
So Chris Paul, those are two cooks in the kitchen. Do you have two chefs at Cheesecake Factory making the same meal? No.
Not making the same meal.
Well, their same goal is to win the game for Houston Rockets, and they need a ball in their hands to do it. They need one ball. You got two ball-dominant players and only one ball. That's two chefs cooking the same meal.
Okay.
So San Antonio need that ball handler.
Yeah. Oh, most definitely.
Oh, yeah.
With Tony Parker out?
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
There's no way around
Kawhi it. Kawhi Leonard can't play point guard again.
He's a great player, but.
But he can't be doing all
that. He's not a guy who's better with the ball, with moving without the ball, than dominating the ball as much as he did when Tony Parker got hurt.
Yeah.
All right. Do you feel like Carmelo could make it to the Cavaliers?
Carmelo could be very likely. And we were talking about this before the podcast, that Carmelo doesn't want to leave because of his son, which is kind of ironic because he kind of messed up his own marriage.
Yeah,
but
yet you want to stay for your son. Like,
yeah, exactly. You know,
what is you talking about? I don't understand that. I know you love your kids. You know, I know certain things are important.
But what does most people do? They mostly say, well, you know, according to my marriage, my wife. He couldn't use that. So he had to use his son.
Well, that's true, true.
All he did was shift it. And you got to say, oh, so he cares about his kids. No, he gives a damn about his kids.
No, he just doesn't want to go to Cleveland.
He just need to put it out there to say,
I'm still a family man. Even though I mess with a prostitute, you know, I'm still Mellow the family man.
Prostitutes are fine. So I can't help that, you know, one of those.
Go ahead.
Whoever did Mellow's contract, I don't know. They must be good
selling
friends
dreams,
with Melo.
Man. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
You know, he also has a kicker in his contract that once he gets traded, he gets paid the extra $8 million.
That's
what I'm thinking.
A trading fee? Is that what that is?
A trading fee.
Yeah. Oh, you going to trade me? Yeah, that's
going to
have to pay me
$8
million. So it's like he has a no-trade clause, so he can choose if he gets traded or not. Mm-hmm. But then if he chooses to get traded, he gets paid $8 million to get traded. That is a beautiful contract.
But wait a minute.
How did he get this?
Who the hell would say, okay, I agree with that.
Who the fuck would do that? Phil Jackson?
Yeah, well, God damn.
But I mean, I'm trying to remember. Wasn't Phil Jackson the one that paid him? Because this is a beautiful contract. If I was a player, if I was more like, hell yeah, I want to get traded. Trade me to Sacramento. Trade me everywhere. Give me that $8 million.
Somebody's gonna give me 15 to play, and I get $8 million.
Because I'm still getting that contract that you pay me, and you're giving me an extra $8 million to be traded. Let me just say this: I'm here. I want to stay here for my son, just to save face, just to look like a good guy, because Phil Jackson's looking like an asshole in front of the media.
Right.
So you know, he wants to get traded. He wants to go to Cleveland. You know, let him win a championship while still getting paid.
That he's either old or he's an idiot,
or both.
Yeah,
an old idiot.
Yeah, an old idiot. It's kind of like he's just doing the stupidest things, and they not realizing that I don't give a damn what he's done in the past. He's not doing shit now.
Right.
You need to cut him.
What he did was what he did as a head coach, not as a front office persona, which is what he is right now. Yeah, and he's too old. I feel like he's getting to the point where he's getting senile. Like,
so I think his philosophy, he doesn't want to move from, you know, like an old racist. An old racist always know they don't want any blacks in their neighborhood.
Right.
Even though the blacks are actually raising his rate on his house, they're fixing everything. Why black goddamn niggers in our neighborhood?
I don't care if Obama made my gas prices low. Get these niggers out of here.
I don't care. Get them out of here. That's him. My philosophy has made me win for years, so no one can tell me that I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he's living with that. And the front, the owners
it's
are saying,
triangle or die. Triangle or die.
Yep. And it's ridiculous. So, man, he's really disappointed. His legacy is like freaking going.
You know what Frank Ntilikina is? No. He's a triangle point guard. Yep. That's what he is. He's a triangle point guard.
He's super tall.
You drafted him over Dennis Smith because he's a triangle point guard. 6'5", yeah.
Stupid ass.
All right, continuing on with the point guard rumor. Minnesota has rumored to be looking at Jeff Teague, Kyle Lowry, George Hill, Lowry. And Drew Holiday.
So you think Kyle Lowry will leave?
Who do you think will fit better or best with Minnesota? I personally think Jeff Teague will fit.
Yeah, I think Jeff Teague is the best fit because unlike Kyle Lowry is a little bit too ball dominant because he already got two ball dominant players in Wiggins and Butler.
Right.
So Jeff Teague, while he can stretch the floor and he can give you six in a game, but also that he can play second fiddle like he did with Paul George. So he is the best fit. But at the same time.
What about George Hill?
George Hill, never great fit. That's never great fit.
Okay.
So he's a little bit more ball dominant than Jeff Teague. But Jeff Teague and George Hill, I say they're both the best fit.
Best fit.
Kyle Lowry's just a little bit too ball dominant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't think Drew Holiday is aggressive enough.
Drew Holiday, he just can't shoot the 3-point shot consistently enough.
Okay.
And he's kind of ball dominant as well because he's a guy that gets like 8 assists, but he needs the ball in his hands to like operate pick and rolls and all that. That'll mesh with Jimmy Butler's game.
I think Jeff Teague will fit best. Because of his style. I think he'll flow better with Wiggins.
He's a little bit faster than George Hill.
Right,
so
exactly.
He plays more of an up-tempo game.
Yeah, yeah. So if that was to happen, I think, Jeff T, that would be a perfect
but
move.
But at the same time, would Pacers want Ricky Rubio for Jeff T?
Right.
Which, depends. I don't know if that could be a fair trade. Well, depend. I don't know. There's similar players, but then again, would do Indiana want to give away? Well, honestly, no, scratch that. Pacers got Miles Turner, who is their budding star now. He's a center. Getting a facilitator like Rubio might actually help Miles
the
Turner.
Because they do got a couple bigs there. They're big. They're big dominantly based. They're not really
Al Jefferson as a backup.
Right, exactly. So, they're not really a small group or whatnot. So, that's a good point. Yeah, That's a good point, man.
So Teague.
Then you got TJ Leaf that they just got drafted. He's another big man. I think that might be a fair trade if Pacers are willing to do that.
Okay. And going on to Kevin Love, man, everybody. I think that's the biggest name that's going to be moved.
He's not the biggest name.
He's the most likely biggest name.
Yeah, but
aside from Paul Millsap, probably.
So well, okay, hold on. Everybody knows that Paul George is leaving. Everybody knows that Carmelo is leaving. Everybody knows that Blake Griffin is leaving. Everybody knows that Chris Paul is leaving.
Who knows? Paul George might leave this offseason, might leave during the trade deadline. So that's why I'm saying that Kevin Love might be like a 90% chance of leaving.
Yeah,
while Paul George more like 50.
So if...
70.
So if they don't get Paul George, I don't think Love is leaving.
But they have to get Paul George.
If they can't get Paul George, I don't think they can afford to get rid of Love. I think they can pick up a free agent, like you were saying earlier, with like a Wade or somebody that can help support.
But Love would have to stay.
But at the same time, if they do get Kevin Love for Paul George, how is that lineup going to look? Is LeBron James going to play the four now? Because let's say you got Wade, George, and LeBron.
It's going to be. What it's going to be. It's going to be point guard Kyrie, two guard D Wade, three guard Paul George, four guard LeBron, big man. Somebody's going to have to. We're going to have to get rid of Tristan Thompson,
I guess.
Thompson,
I don't know.
We're going to have to get rid of this guy. In.
So,
but for now.
So why would you get rid of him though? I mean, I know he didn't do well.
It's like AD and BC, like before Christ, after Christ. it's like with athletes, you got before Kardashian and after Kardashian. Usually after Kardashian, the athlete severely declines in their respective sports.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of examples like Reggie Bush, Chris Humphreys.
Chris Humphreys,
Who else am I missing?
Lamar Odom.
Lamar Odom. I mean, Lamar Odom.
What was that? Smoking the Lamar Odom.
Decline's an understatement, Lamar Odom. He almost killed himself
from
post-Kardashian.
Once
you get a post-Kardashian,
Black Thought said that, right?
Where's Chris Humphreys right now? Like, where is he? Post-Kardashian, it's hard to recover from that. So you might need to trade Tristan Thompson right now. And D'Angelo Russell almost messed himself up.
So sometimes it's easy to say trade. Who would you replace him with, though?
Well, that's the question. But who would trade for Tristan Thompson in that 5-year $80 million contract? Who would trade for him? I don't see any team that's going to say they're going to have to wait for
that contract to run out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
they might just pick up Dwight Howard.
No.
Oh, Dwight Howard, even they signed him, that wouldn't have been a good fit.
No, what I'm saying is somebody did pick up Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
So someone could pick up Tristan Thompson.
Well, at least Dwight Howard has a resume. Tristan Thompson, he still hasn't proved himself. Dwight Howard, you pick him up with the possibility, okay, maybe if we could get this guy's ego down a bit, get him settled, maybe we could get rebounds. Like a semblance of the Dwight Howard Magic or give him some rebounds.
I just need rebounds.
But Tristan Thompson couldn't give you rebounds during the finals, so... Do you really want to take Tristan Thompson that contract? Nah, you don't want to do that. You don't want to bind yourself in that. Cleveland might be stuck with him.
But I think that's what I think. I think they're stuck with him. I don't think he can do anything to trade him out and get somebody valuable enough to fill that slot.
So there's this guy. He came out the D League. He's 25 years old. His name is Eddie Tavares.
Oh, he's trash. He's trash. He played for the Hawks. He's trash.
Yeah, yeah. They just picked him up. They didn't even have him the whole season. They kind of picked him up at the end of the season. Eddie Tavares.
He's 7'3".
Who picked him up?
The Cavaliers.
Really?
Yeah. So that could be the summer prospect for next year.
And I'm pretty sure he won't make it past their training camp squad. He's pretty trash. He used to play for the Atlanta Hawks. He is trash.
Yeah, that's where he was drafted at in 2014. So that would be the only other center that they have on their team, the Cavaliers.
So they can't backfill?
Not at
all. Because you got a trash guy coming behind him.
Well, again, this is it. I mean... he was in the D League last year. I think he got some type of award last year for being one of the good. I'm about to give.
I mean,
it
but
to
then
you.
Again, it is D League. I mean, you did get your Hassan Whiteside from the D League. So who knows? Who knows? But I don't know about Eddie Tavares. If he's improved since his Atlanta Hawks time, then maybe. But
right.
I'm not too sold. Maybe he could be a backup center. Who knows? I mean, he is 7'3". You can't teach that. He can get a couple of rebounds, you know. So you could be a backup center. Okay. But
yeah, he got the D League's Defensive Player of the Year this year.
I mean, all he got to do is just stand there. 7'3". So
he got the all NBA D League first team. NBA D League all defensive team. And then he made the D League All-Star team this year.
Okay, so it looks like he probably improved well.
So, yeah, they definitely picked him up because of those reasons. But, again, that's the only center that the Cavaliers have other than Tristan Thompson. So maybe they should have picked up a big. Well, did they even have a pick? I don't even think they had a pick in this round this year.
They traded their pick.
Yeah, yeah, they got rid of all their picks.
They traded all their assets, pretty much. And guess what the Warriors did? They traded up into the draft to, I believe, it was the 36th pick.
Okay.
Where they paid $3.5 million for that trade, for that pick. And just to draft, I believe it was to Milwaukee as well. Like, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it was to Milwaukee and to draft Jordan Bell, who used to play for Oregon, who almost had a triple-double in blocks in Oregon and during the NCAA tournament.
Damn.
So this is what the Warriors drafted.
So they want a true big man or someone that can...
He's 6'8", but he has a huge wingspan, and he's incredibly athletic. His game is definitely... When I saw him in Oregon, I was like, this guy's game could definitely translate into the NBA.
Right.
I'm surprised. Of all the teams he goes to the Warriors. That made me angry because this guy might be their starting center.
Right.
This guy, to me, is already an upgrade over Andrew Bogut and Zaza Pachulia and whatever center they had to plug in there.
From Eastern Europe.
Yeah, exactly. From Eastern Europe. This guy could already be their starting center. So the fact the rich just get richer.
Yeah, they have a good whoever sitting at the table with that GM in Golden State. They doing some good work.
And the fact that they paid $3.5 million just to pick him in the second round shows that this guy is not going to get cut. This guy's going to be on the team.
And see, I hate the Warriors, man, but they're turning it into a business. They're turning this whole, it is a business, but they're making it look like a real business. We're getting the best of the best. We want our company to be the best. So
I can't say anything about that because it started officially with LeBron to Miami. It officially started. Of course they had big threes. Of course they had people coming together. But it officially started with
LeBron. In this generation. In this era.
Exactly. Because it was, let's get together in order for us to get paid. Well,
What about Boston?
That's what I'm saying. It started with the Celtics and the big three. After that,
Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce.
But when they did that, it wasn't really how financially, who took the cut on that?
Oh, there was a few people who took cuts.
On Boston?
Yeah.
I believe it was Paul Pierce who took a cut.
Yeah.
For one. And then all of a sudden, Ray Allen and KG got traded. I believe KG, both of them took lower contracts to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Allen, the whole big three took lower contracts.
Yeah, took lower contracts.
Okay. Then you got some role players like James Posey who took, I believe, a veteran's minimum just so he could be their sixth man. So you had a bunch of players that sacrificed to make this work.
So I got you, but they didn't. The hoopla and everything wasn't around it. So I got you.
Definitely on after the Celtics. That was a big deal about that.
After the Celtics though. So leading into it, they was like, "Oh, these guys is this." LeBron
that
made
one
it
was
a celebration and shit.
Well, and yeah, TV yeah, and exactly, and that's why it was. That's why everyone was so pissed off about it.
Yeah, because he made it a spectacle,
right?
And then if he wouldn't have
made it a spectacle, then it would have been like, what the fuck is LeBron doing?
Yeah.
We would have went to sleep on it and got over it the next day.
The difference is the big three for the Celtics, they came together at the end of their primes. LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, they were still in their 20s when they came together.
Yep.
And it was successful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when he got what he wanted, he went to Cleveland. And then when he went to Cleveland, there wasn't no real big three there, but there was all-stars. And LeBron.
Then Durant said, like, hey, LeBron, in the big three, I could do you one better. Instead of just going to a team
that I grew up in, the fucking city that I lived in.
Exactly. And it's just like going to a team that's just assembling stars together. Let me go to a team who already won a championship,
mm-hmm.
who broke the record for most wins in the regular season, mm-hmm. who has all these star players, all of them already got chemistry together.
Yep.
And let me just be that final piece.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, you got the Monstars and the Warriors who are going to win a championship for the next 3 years.
Yep. And that's what it looks like. Everybody right now is circling the wagons and saying, how do we do it? Well, if they still mathematically putting it together, it's still just going to be outright hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be because if your pursuing percentage isn't as high or competitive, you're fucked.
You have to make history. You have to make history every time. Oh, man, you have to consistently be aware of outbeating yourself every game. We have to be... Okay, we scored 150 points. We need to score 160 next game. All right, we beat these dudes by 5. We need to beat them by 15 next game. Like,
I really think, looking at the playoffs, I really think you can shake everybody but Durant. You can shake everybody's confidence but Durant. He's the only one that when everybody else wasn't scoring, he was like, fuck that, y'all can't stop me. You can't.
I'm the man.
I'm gonna maintain or I'm gonna push the lead regardless.
Not even just that. It's just because there's too many pieces in general. There's no game plan in the world that can stop all three of them from scoring.
Yeah. At one. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
And then the backups are, you know, Iguodala. You can't. If you open it up for him, he's gonna score.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ian Clark, he can shoot the three well.
He sure can.
Draymond Green, he'll shoot the three. Or he's in the middle dominating you. So he'll put a body on you. And then if you close in on him, he'll just shoot it out. And then you got people on the perimeter. So it's very, very difficult. But you can shake them. But I don't think you can break them. Not anymore.
Nah. And here's the thing. You're going to have people who play great on both sides.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I haven't looked into it yet, but... Say says Curry is a really, really great point guard on defense. Okay, we'll go with that for the moment.
I didn't say a great point guard. I said a decent point guard defense. On defense.
Okay.
Okay.
Decent. Right.
So I'll acknowledge you're decent.
We'll go with that, too.
I don't know about that, though.
We'll definitely give Clay great defense.
He plays good defense.
He's more decent as well. His defense kind of got overrated because there was a time where he shut down Kobe.
Right.
So his defense kind of got overrated after that, but his defense is like slightly above average for a shooting guard.
Then we got Draymond.
Yep.
Which has really pretty deep. Well, he won all defense this year.
Even though Rudy Gobert should have won it, but he got elite defense. He got elite defense.
So, you know, we have three people that's usually on the court at the same time, all the time. Then you have, let's say, the Cavaliers. Okay, you got the Cavaliers. LeBron, great defense. Let's say that. Kyrie, subpar defense.
Subpar.
Very
subpar. And who's their other starter? Okay, Kevin Love. Decent.
He's decent.
Defense.
He got better since going to Cleveland. Decent.
But compared to Golden State, it's like no comparison.
Yeah. They can slow you down.
Then you got Livingston, so let's just say, good on defense. Exactly. Backup. So, Iguodala, great on defense.
So let's just say they go back to the finals with nobody next year. They're still gonna lose. Because they need at least two more defense. Okay, let's just say we pick up Paul George. Is Paul George really a great defender?
Actually, yes.
You think so?
Yes.
I think he's not great, though. When
the years the that they were Heat, playing against Miami?
Yeah, played against Indiana. Paul George, at that year, was one of the top perimeter defenders in the league. Along with Lance Stephenson and George Hill, that whole team, they were all perimeter defenders. They're all defenders in general. Even David West, Roy Hibbert, they were interior defenders. Paul George right now, he's still one of better defenders, but it's just like the Jimmy Butler thing. Just because he's expanding more on offense, he has to conserve energy on the defensive end. But he is a really good defender.
Okay, so with Paul George and let's say with Paul George and D-Wade, do you think they can compete
both
with the finals?
Very good two-way players, yeah.
Exactly. Do you think they could compete in the finals next year?
Yes, if they play can for compete. Cleveland? I'm not sure if they'll win, but I know they can compete.
Compete more than they did this year.
I'd say yes. It could go from 5 to 6. That's it. Warriors from 5 to 6.
I think from 6, possibly 7. I still right now.
Oh, no, it's not going to be 7.
So the
it's
only reason why I say 7 is because if they have a lax in mental capacity.
Right.
I think it's Golden State is still going to win.
It's the difference now having all those stars assemble.
Chemistry.
Yeah, exactly. You got to develop chemistry now.
Yep. And a year with chemistry, no. But I think their second year, he's always been like this. But
mentally, he dropped off because of Westbrook. Now he don't give a fuck about everybody on the team.
Yeah, man, he got too many light skin.
So he's going to say, you light-skinned dudes, I don't give a fuck.
Let me show you something. Right. Y'all light-skinned, but I'm going to show you who the man here.
So I'm going to get MVP next year overall. I don't give a damn about anybody in the league. I'm going to show you who the MVP is. Mm, I think that's his deep. Year of being total MVP.
Really?
Yeah. He showed you he can't get stopped.
Yeah.
He played good defense. I've never seen him play as good defense like this. He was on a mission.
Yeah,
so
he
what's
was.
His new mission? Another championship, and I'm an MVP. That's what he looks like.
He's going to look at Westbrook like, oh, yeah, you could get MVP. Watch me get MVP again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now watch me get MVP. And then you're going to have your boy sitting there, Steph Curry, kind of like, man, I thought this was my team. And that's how he's going to look.
Honestly, I don't believe Steph Curry really cares about whose team it is.
You don't think so?
I don't think so at all. Like I was saying in the last episode, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, sons of former NBA players.
Right.
They care about winning. Yeah, they care about winning. They all got still that winning over everything. It's not about your money or whatnot, because they already had money as a child, so they don't need to care about getting the fame, getting the glory, getting the spotlight.
They don't care about that. They act more so. Now, Klay Thompson, I'm good with him because he's always been second fiddle. He's a great player, you know, just like they showed on awards. They gave him the award.
But there were even times before Durant where Steph Curry couldn't score. Yeah, and there were times where Klay Thompson was on fire. But Steph Curry all of a sudden became second fiddle and he had no problem with it.
No.
These guys are all unselfish.
He was second fiddle because he wasn't fucking making it.
Right.
He wasn't second fiddle because, okay, go ahead and do your
game. Right, okay, this game is going to be your game.
But
right.
Even the 60-point game where Klay Thompson scored, like, Steph Curry, his shot was on, but it's like, no, Klay Thompson is absolutely on fire right now.
But
let's look for him.
Though. The reason why that's different, I will always respect, and I think NBA players respect my man. This is his game.
Right. He on fire. You're on fire. Gotta give it to him.
You got it this game. Mm-hmm. I don't need to prove anything. But if it's a balance in between, Curry's gonna say,
I need
the
ball first.
Give me the ball.
Yep.
Nah, I'm scoring. No. This game is in my hands.
I still really don't believe they got any egos at all.
Okay.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. When they played against the Spurs, game one, when they played against the Spurs and they were down by 20-25, and they come out the second half, Curry wasn't passing that ball. Curry was shooting it. This is my team. I need to get back in this game. I need to do what I need to take to make sure this team gets back in. And right after, and then like I said, he scored the first 11, 13 points of the second half. And then right after that, Kawhi Leonard gets injured. And then everybody else starts getting momentum from Curry's.
Well, when Curry's shot's on, he's just going to take a shot regardless.
He does that. He gets the green light. He always.
Because he's a guy who can literally make a 3-point shot from any single position.
Because Steve Kerr gave him that green light to do that. Yeah. If he was with Alvin Gentry, he would not have the green light. He wouldn't even qualify him to have that type of green light.
With Mark Jackson when he was coaching them before,
he wasn't even as free then.
I say he was free like that final season with Mark Jackson, but Steve Kerr did give him that freedom. Like, you know what? If you could make a 45-foot 3-point shot, go ahead and shoot that.
Shoot that shit. But I don't think any other team, any other coach would see it that way. Slow it down, bro. We don't need him like that.
Right.
Let's get a good shot. But Kerr is like, you got the range because I used to have it too.
Yeah,
go for it.
Exactly.
That's why I'm saying Curry knows it's his team.
Right.
When it's not his team,
but
he's not as comfortable.
And see, that's a good point because Kerr gave Steph Curry that green light. So when, this is just me personally, so when KD walks into the scene and sees the green light that Steph Curry gets, KD gets way more confidence.
Yep.
And naturally, KD has a way better all-around game.
Yeah, KD could do more when he's on fire because he doesn't have to just shoot.
Like, right.
He's 7 foot, so he can literally do anything he wants if he's on fire.
He's on fire whenever he wants to be on fire.
Pretty much.
He stays on fire.
It's easier with the Warriors. It's way easier with the Warriors.
Yeah, and in OKC, there were times where he had to force shots.
Exactly.
Right.
And you didn't see him force. When you seen him force it, it was like a smooth force.
Right.
It wasn't like, okay, we need the shot. Okay, we need the shot. Okay, I done missed 10 shots before this. We need the shot. We need the shot. He didn't never feel like that when he was with the Warriors. Right. With OKC, it was several times where you seen him having to come down the court and just pop it. That last shot that he did in, I think, game 3, where they beat him and it was like, ugh, you killed them. Like. He wouldn't have been that naturally
that.
Smooth.
Right.
He would have done it, but he would have probably missed.
He's always been a smooth player, but you could saw when he was pressing in OKC.
Right, right.
He's never pressed in Golden State.
You don't have to.
He's
IP Shea
man.
Was saying though, it's because of the team.
Right.
See, he never has to worry about if I shoot this, then Westbrook going to take the ball the next time and won't pass it off.
Right.
He knows it doesn't matter if they pass it to me. We're going to get a good shot because these guys can play.
These guys can play.
And if they not, they're going to give me the ball.
Right.
And I'm okay with that.
Right.
He is in such a relaxed mode. He can shoot each time he comes down.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to. But when he wants to, no one's going to stop him.
No, they're
and
not.
And they're going to say, go ahead, go straight down court. Oh, no, go ahead. And no one's going to come to him like, yo, man, pass me the ball next time. Or take the ball clearly down the court and just shoot.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, where's KD? He go. And he'll set it up. He's in such a great environment. There's no pressure on him.
Yeah.
So he's like.
He was in the finals and there was still no pressure.
Yeah.
He was in the finals, the most toughest game you can be in. And he was still in relaxed mode. It was like. Man, this is it. Like I said, it wasn't even fair.
Yeah.
It wasn't even fair. So
he looked so fucking dominant, man.
Yeah.
It was everything came to him so easily. And I was like, what are they doing?
Yeah, the team
but
complimented
they weren't trying,
him.
Though.
The team
they
compliments
trying.
Him so well.
They couldn't do anything. If you double teamed him,
Oh yeah,
Steph Curry will go off.
Yep.
If you double team them or switched off, they'll be empty under the basket. It was nothing they could do.
You must rely on the forces of Minnesota to hopefully they assemble. I mean, hopefully Karl Towns takes that next level because
I don't see any
other team in the East contending against with the Warriors.
Not at all. I'm glad Minnesota made that choice that we were pondering about because we was like, if they don't make a massive decision now, they going back downhill. So with the Jimmy Butler look, you know, this definitely puts them in the playoffs.
So what about, back to the trades, what about your boy Avery Bradley? They say Avery Bradley is poised for his biggest payday of his life.
Oh, yeah, he's going to get paid.
They're going to pay him.
They might get the max.
Definitely.
He might get the max.
Yes. Bradley ain't going nowhere.
If Mike Conley can get the max, he can get the max as well.
Yeah, man.
How many players are like Avery Bradley in the NBA? He's a very rare type of player.
Yeah, that's the new Celtics, Tony Allen.
I'd rather give him the max. Yeah, he's Tony Allen with an offensive
better
game.
Better shot. Yep.
That can create his own shot. Yeah. How many perimeter defenders of the level of Avery Bradley can create their own shot? Very few. I don't know if I can think of anyone else.
Like, he's gotten so much better with his shot as the years went on, man. It's like he's getting very good. He was the same thing you said with Jimmy Butler. He wasn't an offensive threat when he got in the league.
No.
He's molding and transitioning into it very well. It's not like Rubio where it's like, okay, he's not a shooter. Okay, I see him working on it, but bro, that ain't your game right there. You know, so when I see him play, it's like, okay, he's transitioning very, very well into this shooter Avery Bradley is. So,
and I'd rather give Avery Bradley the max before I give Isaiah Thomas the max.
Wow.
I'm not hating on Isaiah Thomas.
Yes, you are, man.
But Isaiah Thomas is a 28-year-old point guard. He's going to be 29 when his contract ends. So I'd rather give a guy like Avery Bradley, who is a couple years younger, and a guy whose game is more hard to find, is more rare to find. I'd rather give a guy like Avery Bradley the max.
But I'm still going with Brand.
Ticket sales.
I hope he doesn't ask for the max.
I swear to you. Brand means a lot for a team. Brand means
if
a
you
lot.
Are in New York
or Boston,
if you're
or
in a,
LA,
if you are Thank in a winning environment like Boston, where the fans are used to winning, they don't care how many players are marketable. They care about championships.
You can't say that when the Patriots picked up Randy Moss and they lost against the Giants that year.
Randy Moss
Wait a
made
minute.
The team.
Wait a minute. You said they lost against the Giants. No, they lost against the Giants twice.
They did.
Okay.
But Randy Moss was there only one year.
Okay, that's right.
Okay,
that's
we're right. not talking about NFL here, but Randy Moss got that team to 16-0, broke records, and we were supposed to win a championship.
But
then David Tyree made a miraculous catch that he will not make the next day or the day before that. A once-in-a-lifetime catch. That is different.
No, they did it twice.
That is different.
So you can't have too lucky. I don't understand why everything is about luck. Y'all got the leprechauns up in that motherfucker. So the four-leaf clovers and all of that, I thought that
Eli
was a Boston
Manning
thing.
Eli Manning masquerades himself as a good quarterback during the Super Bowl against the
Which
Patriots.
Which is great. You know what? If I have to wear that mask every Halloween, I'll masquerade as Eli Manning.
Okay, let's get back to basketball. We ain't talking about football right now.
I'm sorry.
Let's talk about who won the championship.
So let's talk stupidity. What about Porzingis? And what fucking Jackson did and tried to put him out there during the trade time to say that he was going to trade him. And he got pissed off and like, what kind of motherfucker going to put me out there? And I've done everything I could for this damn
team.
Well,
what's them from the beginning is because he didn't show up to the exit interview.
Did you hear what Phil Jackson said in his interview? Did anybody listen to the interview?
So I didn't listen to it. Like, they just showed him on the train sleeping shit.
Well, the interview was interesting because the interview basically was just like, look, anybody is expendable. You fucking with me, you don't do what I want you to do or I ask you to do, you got to go.
Yeah, I heard that.
For the best of the team. That's what he said. He was like, so it's interesting. So you're looking at some trades to get rid of Porzingis?
So if you have LeBron James on your team, is anybody still expendable? If you have LeBron James on your team.
With Phil Jackson, yes.
According to Phil Jackson.
All right. So check this out. I want you to, it's only a minute long, or a minute 52, but it was real brief, man. It was just, I'm going to share it with you real quick. It was real brief. He was just like, he was just very dry, very vague, basically saying, I run this. This is my show. And I don't care if you're the superstar of this team or you're the sorriest team. I will get rid of you so fast.
Yeah. So that ignorant ass, he would do something like that. You know what I mean? He's just so ignorant because it's my way or the highway type shit.
Yeah.
And to me, that's just ridiculous.
Celtics actually made, Knicks actually made a trade offer to the Celtics for Porzingis. It was Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, and a couple of high first round picks.
Trade offers for Kristaps Porzingis. Is that in fact happening?
We're getting calls. You know, as much as we value Kristaps and, you know, what he's done for us, when a guy doesn't show up at an exit meeting, everybody starts speculating on, you know, the duration or your movability from a club. So we've been getting calls. Mm. And, you know, we're listening, but we're not intrigued yet at this level. But as much as we love this guy, you know, we have to do what's good for our club.
And what would be good for the club? Why would you do that?
Future. You know what?
This Porzingis third year, and you're talking about the future.
He's 20 years old.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That is something that we have to look at as far as.
So he's all kind of like, yeah, we're taking calls. We're taking calls. I don't want to hear no more of this fucking idiot, man. He gets on my nerves, man.
It hurts
man.
As a Knicks fan,
listening
it?
To this stupidity, man.
Dude. I got so many friends who are angry with Phil Jackson. Yeah, I love it.
That's disappointing,
well,
man.
Yeah, I mean, on the Unemployed Sports Report,
straight from the unemployed
line. He clearly said he was overrated. And I don't think he was overrated when it was
his
time.
He's an overrated head coach
when it was,
as well.
When he had his time, he was fine. When his time was over, which was in the middle of the Lakers, he was done. When people adapted to that shit, and it was
when
done.
When you're coaching Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Pau Gasol, Andrew Bynum, you will win a lot of games.
No. So if you have Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Kobe Bryant, Shaq, and you have all of these players and you fucking lose?
Yeah.
No. When you have, you know, when you said when the Portland Trailblazers really did the same thing. No, you're going to fucking lose. It doesn't matter. It's the way you keep
play.
Them in line
yeah.
is the way you win. So he was able to do that. I give him all the respect from then. You can't keep doing that when things change.
Yeah.
You have to change and
evolve. With the league and evolve with the players.
Remember we was talking about Snoop.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't evolve, you're going to sound the same. And only the motherfuckers who knows your style is going to just follow you. Other than that, you're fucking done. And he's done. And right now, because he think he's the man and making all the decisions, he's making some dumbass decisions. He started making them as a coach. Now he's making it as a manager. I'm not taking away your opinion, Shay. I'm just saying you can put the best players together and still fucking lose. You can. But you can put the best players together and win.
Yeah.
He's good at managing personalities,
yeah.
but apparently not for the New York Knicks right now.
He's done. He was done when he was in L.A. Those last couple of years, he was done.
Oh, yeah. Mentally, he was done. But after he saw that check that Knicks were offering, that contract, was like,
I'll take it.
Yeah, maybe I'll consider. I'll come back out.
Right.
Yeah, I'll make some money just sitting around. Because he's sitting around and just pointing out people's flaws and making decisions that he think will work. But I'm the top man, so what the fuck? I'll just fire the coach.
He's just making money. He don't care. He's just making money.
I don't
money.
Think he cares anymore. And I don't understand.
I don't think he cared at all once he signed with the Knicks. I said this a long time ago. I was like, that is a bad decision. Giving a guy with no front office experience a role in a front office for a team he has no affinity for.
So
Did he ever have any affinity for New York? Really?
Never. Not really. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
He would have went to the Knicks before he went to the Lakers.
Right.
Because
he had an opportunity to do
that. Around that time.
Yep.
I mean, he played for the Knicks,
yeah,
right?
But
that's about
then,
it.
Though.
Yeah.
He moved on. But I wanted to go Larry Bird when he went to the Pacers. Larry Bird went all out to try to get the best players on that team.
He had the passion to do it.
He went all out to make that team champions. And he got frustrated when it didn't go in there.
He even changed the whole offensive style.
Yeah.
He went from being a gritty defensive team to trying to be a fast-paced offensive team, and it still couldn't work.
So he was like, look, these people don't get what I'm trying to do. I'm fucking done. I thought he was going to be done, I think, 2 years ago when they lost to Miami. I mean, not 2 years ago. A couple of years ago when they lost to Miami, and he was just so fucking frustrated because people wasn't aggressive enough.
But then he switched the whole style up and said, like, maybe we can win like this.
Yeah, and it didn't work. Didn't work. He was like, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm done. So he's really, he's just really pissing me off. And it's my Knicks that, on top of that, it just really pisses me off.
I would hate to be a Knicks fan. I'm just saying. I would hate to be a Knicks fan. Just saying. That must be a lot of stress.
Anyway, so the actual award ceremony,
guys.
So I'm gonna not go to the top. I'm gonna go to the one that I didn't think would happen, which was coach of the fucking year.
Well, real quick. I just want to say my personal opinion about the actual award show.
Mm.
It was trash.
Okay.
And it was unnecessary.
Was super that?
Like every year before this, we didn't have an award show.
Yeah. So. Yeah,
you know, but it was like, you know what? Let's make some money.
Let's get some TV time.
What ended up happening was we were supposed to be able to watch the Big Three. And I want to talk about the Big Three, too. I think that's important. Briefly. Mm-hmm. But we were supposed to watch the Big Three by itself, but they ended up pushing it to where you have to watch either the award show
or
the Big Three. You know what I'm saying? And I'm an 80s baby, so everybody that's in the Big Three, I've pretty much seen a lot of them play in the league, so I didn't have no reason to watch the award show.
So again,
I was watching Monday Night Raw.
Right.
And LeVar Ball make a fool of himself.
The award show, you didn't really, all you wanted to know is who would win.
Right.
I don't think it was like, oh, let me see all the people there, and let me see who's going to
perform and all this.
You can get the list, which I got right here. You can get the fucking
I was just watching on Twitter, like, okay, let's see who's going to win.
Yeah.
That's it. I didn't need to watch the show for that.
It's a list. That's what it is. But the accomplishments is what it is. So anyway.
Coach of the year.
Coach of the year.
Like I told you, it's going to be Mike D'Antoni. He completely transformed that Rockets team to being a team full of egotistical losers to a team that has just one egotistical loser. And
now everyone has to listen to this one egotistical loser.
Said 40, he took the Rockets from a 41-win team to 55. That's 14 games.
14 games in the Western Conference, that's a big deal. Because that 41 win in the Western Conference, you're out of the playoffs usually.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's a big deal.
Yep.
Yeah.
They were the team most likely to beat the Warriors. And until James Harden did his little ghost impression, until he went Casper, I mean, they had the best chance to beat the Warriors.
And you know what? I'm looking forward to that next season because I would love – that's the game that I want to see. I want to see that game head-to-head because I want to see if what we think is going to be, which is score for score, what would that look like?
Right.
That don't mean
they're gonna win.
They're gonna win, but I would like to see what it looks like.
It's like two heavyweight boxers, both offensive boxers, just fighting each other.
But the only difference is defensively, who would slow the other down to a point that would make the win? Because I don't think it's about not scoring, because I think they both are gonna fucking score. But who will slow down the scoring? Or who is capable of slowing down the scoring? Because we just talked about, you went through the whole list, Sean, of defensive and who's average and who's good, and you went through that with the actual Golden State. But when it comes to Houston, if you put them up defensively, how would they match up defensively as opposed to a defensive team of the Golden State?
Trevor Ariza and Patrick Beverley are their best defenders, period. Mm-hmm. Clint Capella is still too small. He's still too young. Not enough experience.
Clint Capella is pretty decent.
Yeah, but as far as competing against the Warriors, hell nah, not even close. He'll get dunked on by JaVale McGee every time. You know what I'm saying? So on the defensive end. Now offensively, Clint Capella is very competitive, and he looks really good out there with James Harden.
So that's what I'm saying. So I think the only telling point is who slows who's down.
Right.
So it still may be a 120, 130
right.
fucking score, but that 10-point difference or that 5-point difference, what is that difference right there? Who did what to make that separation?
That would be Kevin Durant. That would be the difference.
So defensive-wise, no one can defend Kevin Durant.
No one in the league other than the most improved player of the year.
Or probably Kawhi.
Or probably Kawhi. Yeah. So on the West, Kawhi. On the East, Antetokounmpo.
So, but if you're looking at the whole team, what, Milwaukee, right?
Yeah.
The whole team, can they defend the complete
Warrior squad? No. That's you know what I'm saying?
So it's like, for the Milwaukee Bucks, just got to wait like 2 or 3 years. And hopefully Jabari Parker recovers from that ACL tear.
Yeah, fully.
And they got to get rid. They got to get past Cleveland, too.
And they're still going to need another superstar.
I'd say about 2 or 3 years. If Cleveland stays along the same timeline boat, they'll get past Cleveland.
Gotcha.
Yeah. If they keep Thonmaker and he actually progresses normally,
they also got the rookie of the year, Malcolm Brogdon.
Right. So normally, if they do their normal progressions with no major injuries, yeah, I definitely think in 3 years they can take the Cavaliers to 7 games and 6 games and beat them. Actually, I think in 3 years, in 2 years, I don't know yet.
So y'all gotta help me with this, the nominees. So why was Eric Spoelstra in?
Well,
instead of Brad Stevens,
Eric Spoelstra took a team that was supposed to be one of the bottom feeders of the Eastern Conference to the Heat, like almost making a playoff.
Yeah, they were. But they were like 15, 13 games behind 500.
Yeah, after Hassan Whiteside, your best players are Goran Dragic, Dion Waiters. This team wasn't supposed to win that many games.
Right.
The fact that they were one of the last place teams until they have this huge winning streak where they almost make the playoffs, that is all Eric Spoelstra right there. Eric Spoelstra revived Dion Waiters' career. So it could have gone either way for me with Eric Spoelstra being coach of the year. He don't have to make the playoffs. It's not about how many games you won is about what you did with the least. Like, you know,
what you did with the pieces that you had.
Exactly.
So what was Boston's record the previous year then?
Well, Boston went from being the third seed to being the first seed.
Yeah.
And still, even though like they've been winning for how many years now, it's like your best player is a 5'9 point guard who was an outcast on the Suns and the Kings.
Yep.
Oh, you also got Avery Bradley, who was supposed to be just a defensive role player. Mm-hmm. You got Al Horford, who the Hawks didn't want.
Yep.
You got Jay Crowder, who the Mavericks didn't want. He was a throw-in for the Rondo trade. So you got all these outcasts, all these misfits, and you bring them to the first seed.
So that's why I'm saying I respect Eric Spoelstra of what he did with a garbage team, but this guy put these people together. And outdid.
But it's kind of like getting LeBron who playing the MVP. It's like Brad Stevens. It's like you already know what to expect with him. So it's like he gets voter fatigue.
And that's why Greg Popovich didn't get it. He was also a nominee for the Coach of the Year.
Yeah, exactly.
And but he got it was just like
the second amount of votes, even though it was a big difference.
And he was 400
to 155.
See that. Again, man, I just my personal opinion, man, a lot of these awards, I definitely felt like Brad Stevens should at least been nominated.
He should have been a lot higher than that.
Definitely. I just thought that was real disrespectful on what he did for that team and what he did for his players. D'Antoni, he deserved the nominee.
Yeah, he did.
You know,
say he didn't. I never said he didn't deserve
it. The thing about the awards,
I don't think he deserved to win it.
The thing about the awards are based on the regular season. So what he did in the playoffs
has
not
nothing to do. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. So I mean, the Golden State Warriors. I mean, there was a big argument last year about MVP and who was going to win MVP and Steph Curry winning his second MVP and LeBron not getting the MVP. You know, so at the end of the day, man, everyone has – it's going to be an argument on these puss-ass awards every year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So to me, but again, you had James Harden,
Kawhi Leonard,
and Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the top three. And then Westbrook Ron. Underneath them was LeBron James, Isaiah Thomas, Steph Curry, John Wall. Who's that? Giannis?
Antetokounmpo.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, and DeMar DeRozan. So Kevin Durant should have been a lot higher than that.
It's just because he missed a lot of games.
Yeah, he had an injury
during the second half.
So he was down.
He would have been definitely top three if it wasn't for that.
So still wasn't close at fucking all. Well, it was kind of close. First place votes. Russell Westbrook had the
most. And the thing about what I said is based on the regular season. It is. It's supposed to be based on the regular season. But if it's like when James Harden and Russell Westbrook, during the regular season, it was like, who knows who should win? It should be James Harden, should it be Russell Westbrook? There was that argument. But then after what James Harden did in the final game of the playoffs, that kind of went from, okay, it may be Russell Westbrook, it may be James Harden to be, it's definitely Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, because look at this guy. His heart, he didn't even show heart. And that's what's fucked up. That's why the award for regular season should be a lot sooner than what they just did.
This should have been at least before the finals, yes. If not before the playoffs.
At least before the divisional playoffs.
Because I do not care to watch this anymore. The season is done. I'm
looking
for
it's all
next
the way
season.
Done.
Like, why am I still waiting for the MVP? Like, yeah. it's like your mind is like, shouldn't the MVP be Westbrook? Like, oh yeah,
right.
The MVP hasn't been awarded yet.
Then that reminds me of what they did with the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I can't stand that too.
Well, they previously had the Pro Bowl after the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed it because the season was over. Well, my assumption was the season was over.
We did not care anymore.
Exactly. Instead of doing it after the season, we're going to do it right before the Super Bowl.
It was like to give our football fix while we wait for the Super Bowl.
We're waiting for the Super Bowl. So even though you don't like it, it'd still be like, all right, well, while I'm waiting on the Super Bowl,
I can at least look at that.
Right.
Yeah, it's like that little week period we have to wait before the finals start. Instead of just waiting, we could have got our little fix with having that award show.
And accept the fact that now that the top two teams are there, here's the people that was for the season.
Right.
I'm fine. I don't like the fact because as you looking at the playoffs, your mind kind of be like, is it between the two? And then you kind of shift to say, oh, definitely it's this guy. But if you looked at the season and the season was done.
It's like you just said. You said why Kevin Durant isn't higher. Because he had a very good postseason, a very good finals.
Yeah.
He averaged almost 35 a game. So now your mind like,
fine.
Why Kevin Durant isn't higher? Because you've already seen
finals. Seen him at his top notch in the playoffs or whatnot. So, yeah,
so,
I agree with that.
Draymond Green should have got it.
Defensive
player? No. Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert.
So I haven't seen him play. So I'm not going to – I can't say
Rudy anything. Rudy Gobert made Utah one of the top defenses in the NBA.
Yeah, definitely.
He only had like 269 votes.
Yeah, because no one
– Draymond
the
had
end
like –
the day, award show is still a popularity contest.
Yeah, he plays for the Jazz, so of course he didn't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I said – I mean, there's a lot of arguments going on here with these they did a new award. That's what I'm saying. These awards is whack. They did a Sager Strong Award.
Yeah, what the fuck is that, man?
Well, basically, he died of cancer.
Yeah, they had to honor Craig
Sager.
No,
I know. So. I know Sager.
Well, I guess it. Well, Monty Williams, his wife just passed or something.
Okay. Yeah, his wife passed away from, I believe, was a car accident.
Yeah.
And because of that, well, Monty Williams, he's still
playing in the game.
He took a leave of absence briefly, but then he came back to coaching again.
Oh.
And the fact about that is like,
so what about Isaiah Thomas and his sister got killed?
Mm.
You know what? That since that was during the playoffs, that probably wasn't
that's a good
in
point.
Contention.
See, there it
yeah,
is.
That probably wasn't in the.
This shit polls. Needs to be done earlier. That's what I'm saying. Because if we're talking about the season, let's deal with the season.
Right.
This shit is just the finals is already over, and you're just doing this. This doesn't make any sense, man. And then the most improved player.
Oh, Giannis.
Yeah, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
That was good. Our savior to probably beat the Warriors and the Cavaliers. Our savior. He's currently our savior right now. I can't see anybody else.
So, sixth man, Eric Gordon.
I would have gave it to Lou.
Well, they're both teammates. So
teammates. So he could have gotten. Yeah, because the funny part about is when he was playing with the Lakers, he was coming off the bench and he was the leading scorer when he was coming off the Lakers.
So second was Andre Iguodala.
That's because he's with the Warriors. Yeah. Popularity contest,
that
man.
The dude gets off the bench and scores.
Not to the extent of Eric Gordon and or Lou Williams.
But he contributes, and that's why they're winning.
They say this was Andre Iguodala 2 years ago. Yes, he deserves Sixth Man of the Year. But Andre Iguodala, even though he still contributes a huge role to the Warriors, he's on the decline.
Yes.
He's not as good as Eric Gordon and Lou Williams the bench.
Not even close. Lou Williams is the best shot creator.
Eric Gordon gives the Rockets another dimension on offense.
They do.
With his 3-point shooting.
Eric Gordon, 358 to Iguodala, 326. It was close.
Yeah, that was pretty close.
I would have voted for Andre. But again, to your point, he don't have to. He doesn't have to. He can go all out and be like, I can go all out and I'll sit on the bench for the rest of the game. He can go in for like 15 minutes.
Yep.
And he's done for the whole game. Yep. He don't have to do anything else. But everything he does on the court at that given time is amazing.
Four rebounds. Was Harden's number two option.
It was.
No, but I got you. I'm not deflecting from that. What I'm saying is when he comes out, he flashes in a flashing team. So it looks really like, yo, that man comes off the bench. He's fantastic. Because it's Golden State.
Right.
Back to, you know, every time Iguodala
was a starter coming out of the 76ers.
Yeah.
He's an all-star.
Yeah.
So I feel what you're saying, but we're seeing it like, yeah, it's Iguodala. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's with the Warriors. Yeah. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but I don't think Houston would have done much without that team element that they had. They have a lot of great team shooters
mm-hmm.
that really comes off the bench and even assisting with Harden to make that team what it is.
Right.
So you got to respect those
guys.
And
then Eric Gordon, I believe, finished with the highest 3-point percentage of qualifying shooters.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah. So you got that over Stephen Curry.
Damn.
Yeah, that's good this year.
So
man.
That's good.
You can't beat that.
Again, that's what I'm saying, man. I'm going to go back to that shit. When they play, this is going to be really exciting because now you know the criteria to look for. Even if it's a close game, I'm all in now. If it's a close game, I'm all in. Even if it's regular season.
I just fear the Rockets are breaking up that team for next season. Like you said, they're looking at Chris Paul. I feel like they're going to break up that team, which is going to be a shame because I still feel like this current setup, as long as they
still
add
got a chance.
Another shooter.
Yeah, they need another piece. That's all. They would probably have to pay Ryan Anderson less or get rid of his ass because they need somebody more consistent.
No, Ryan Anderson is good. He's good for them. But it wasn't just him that wasn't making shots. It was everybody else on that team.
Yeah.
Ryan Anderson is integral to that team. He's the best big man shooter right now, not named Kevin Durant.
That's a good point because thinking about it again, that's a good point. I just think the leadership is not giving the teammates confidence enough to be like
Houston.
Yeah. To be like, we can do this. Like, cause you're right. Ryan Anderson, before he made it to Houston, who was he playing with?
The Pelicans.
Before the Pelicans.
The Magic.
He was decent with the Magic.
Yeah.
He was pretty decent. You seen that he had something there, you know, and then he went to the Pelicans and it was like, does he really want to be there?
He was playing good for the Pelicans.
He was.
But it was just like Anthony Davis and Ryan Anderson couldn't really be on the same floor together because defensively that did not mesh.
It don't fit.
And Anthony Davis wanted to shoot threes as well. So, like, he had your two tallest players are shooting threes. Who's getting the rebound?
So I think Ryan Anderson needs to be on a better team.
You know what? Cleveland might have a spot for him because he's a better shooter than Kevin Love.
For Kyle Korver?
Not for Kyle Korver. Off the bench, just as another Kevin Love. If you sub Kevin Love out, then you have Ryan Anderson coming in for threes.
Yeah, they got Cleveland got a lot of reject niggas on the bench, man.
I don't know, man. Yeah.
They got a lot of reject.
They got their replacement team.
They got thank you, my buddy, on the bench, man. It's a lot of them on the fucking bench.
Yeah,
and the two white guys, they didn't show up either.
Man, yeah, that was
But you got to have that. Just like that's that tokenism and shit.
Yeah, man. The token white boy. You got to have a token white boy on the team.
But so what about the rookie of the year?
All right, Malcolm Brogdon, also from Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, he definitely got it. So he played that. Round, he played second most
round
of the season.
Pick. Second round pick. Yeah.
So look at that, what y'all been saying earlier, and look at how they're recognizing how Milwaukee has done with the players that they have. So they're being recognized.
Acquired
people know
all their core pieces from the draft, aside from Greg Monroe, who's not a core piece because they're trying to trade him.
Yeah, they're going to get rid of him.
So you're looking at what they're doing. They're building. They have that slow grind to say, how do we be competitive? This is our style.
They have the potential to be way better. They have the potential to drop Toronto from 3 to 6. They're pretty good. Okay. They have the potential. Like you said, if Jabari could come out at the beginning of this season, mm-hmm. all the way up until December, if he could come out looking like an all-star player, mm-hmm. they got a chance of making it 5.
5?
Yeah. You don't they think was 5 they would this be, year, wasn't they?
You don't think they would be 4
they were, No. They were. Who was Milwaukee this year?
They were 6, I believe,
okay.
this year.
Who, Milwaukee?
Yeah, because they played against Toronto first.
Yeah. I thought my Chicago was 6.
Chicago was 8.
Chicago was 8th.
Oh, yeah, because they played Boston. Yeah, they played Boston and won the first 2 and lost.
Mm-hmm. Damn. Okay. But after that, it's a bunch of these made-up goddamn shits.
Yeah. Executive of the year. Sportsmanship. Executive of the year.
Of course they was going to give it to Golden State.
They're just time filler awards pretty much.
Because it was an award show, so now we got to give shit out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Game winners, best dunk, best assist, best block.
Yep. Kimbe Walker,
best high five. You know?
Yep.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Monte Williams, the strong joint. Look, they gave Russell Westbrook best style award. What the fuck, man?
He dresses like a window curtain. Like, really?
But that's what he wants to do. So they're gonna award him for that? Come on, man.
Mm.
So, thanks, gentlemen. Really appreciate good input, good feedback. So, takeaway homework. We got to see the...
Got to check out the big three.
Got to check out the big three.
The trades are going to start probably next week.
Yeah, they're probably the final
free
of the
trade. Free agency also coming up.
Yeah, free agency coming up.
The closing of the free agency, right?
No, the beginning. No,
the beginning.
Agency.
Oh, the beginning. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's there. So we know what's coming. And to me, I like to see what that finalizes as. Because where the chips land will tell you what the season is going to go.
Carmelo's going to Cleveland.
I hope not.
I think Dwayne Wade, if he doesn't go to Cleveland, he's going to probably go somewhere with like Chris Paul or somebody.
So he'll match up with somebody.
Yeah, I definitely think he's going to match up with somebody.
It makes no sense on him just going on some regular team. He wanted his money. He went for his money, mm-hmm. and now he's like, I got my money.
Or he could very well just stay in Chicago since it's still his hometown, so he could very well just
stay. That's true. But what's his name just left? So it's kind of like, who am I fucking
with? He's just
going
to be there just to be there.
He already got his championships. So
right, he's
knows?
Just going to be there just
he,
to be
he
there.
He wants to help the community, so.
Yeah, but he can do that from
He can do that from Cleveland, right. He can do that from Cleveland. So. That's driving distance, really. That's like 3 hours from the crib.
That's true.
So
why drive? You just fucking
when
fly
I could just there, have too. My own personal chopper.
Oh, fucking chopper. Yeah, exactly. Hey, tell the executive, take me home. Look, if I come here, I need a chopper every other weekend, bitch. So, but thanks a lot, guys. We'll follow up with that on our next sports cast. And any last words, Shay? Anything that we need to be looking at other than that?
Yeah, we'll just look for the big three. I guess that's it for the NBA free agency. Going to see some big signings. Who knows? Paul George might leave. Hawks are doing a super rebuild. Like I heard rumors even Dennis Schroeder might be leaving. So we got to take a look at that.
Wow.
So yeah, just check out my podcast, The Unemployed Sports Report, straight from the unemployment line.
Straight from the unemployment
line. You'll check out the links to SoundCloud. Where you find me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram. So just check it out, DJ Omanera. You're going to see it, so I'm going to spell it for you. So yeah, just check all that out.
Excellent. Appreciate it, Sean. Anything?
Yeah, man. Just Yeah, check me out on IG. Stop calling me IG. Stop calling me without the G. And you can catch me on Twitter. I'm on Twitter, DJ Activist. Yep, I'm there.
He's right there.
And make sure y'all subscribe, man. Any questions, any comments, you know, subscribe, subscribe, subscribe.
Subscribe, subscribe. BougieBlackBrother.com. BougieBlackBrother.podbean. Get the app and subscribe. Get the app and subscribe. BougieBlackBrotherPodbean.com. And on iTunes and Google Play, subscribe, subscribe. BougieBlackBro. Instagram and Twitter. So appreciate it, guys. Great NBA talk. We got a lot out. Got to see this 3-on-3 crazy shit. And we will be good. Old Car Wax, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Peace.